Day by day. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2 Kings, chapter 6. I've been so intrigued on how God spoke to Elisha, told him what the enemy's plans was, told him to tell the king so he could do something different so the enemy would be confused. And that's the way it always is. The enemy doesn't know God's will for our life, and the enemy can't read your mind. God can. But they see us, and they see how we, the enemy, the devil, how we spurn the things of God so much and how many times we're unfaithful, and they use that. But I was intrigued at how God used Elisha, and the Lord spoke to my heart and says, I treat you guys a lot better than that, because we have the Word of God, and we have the plan of God. 2 Timothy so wonderfully points out to us the warning signs for the pilgrimage every one of us are going through. Tells us what we're up against. He tells us how to react, how to overcome. And I'm so intrigued by this passage of Scripture, I'm just going to read the whole 17 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Then we'll go back and see what God has for us to understand these warning signs. God knew we'd be in the last day. And if we think it's amazing that God knew what the enemy in that day did, and it was Israel was not a strong nation. They were a very weak nation militarily from time to time. And they had not been wholly following God, which made them even weaker. And we live in America that's not following God hardly at all. And God knew all that. And even hundreds of years back of this, he knew what was going to go through, and he already had it fixed up for us. Isn't that wonderful? Because he knew the future for us. He knew the present for Elisha. He knows the present for us. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He so wonderfully outlines it here in this word. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which crept into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifold unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. And I thought Elisha was favored by God, and he was. It seems to me like God is favoring us in this generation. Tell us ahead of time, step by step, everything they're going to do. Let's look together in five different ways. First of all, there are warning signs out there for us, every one of us, on the pilgrimage, this earthly pilgrimage as we go forth, warning signs all along the way. The first one is beware of. We saw that through the first several verses. Let's look carefully at some of these things we're to be aware of, because he told us in the last days, the days you live in, I live in, perilous time shall come. Perilous time shall come. The word means almost unable to bear, fearless, scary, savage, troublesome, dangerous, and harsh. That's the days he said we'd be living in. And you know what? It is. We're in those days. But there's warning signs all the way, so beware of those now. That's only the second time the word is used, perilous. And actually, the Greek word perilous is used another time. The first time it's used is when Jesus encountered the demonic man. I want to turn back to Matthew chapter 8, because this is very important. God used that Greek word two times, and the first one he used it was, he translated fearless. And if we understand what Jesus was up against in the demonic people, and there are still demonic people today out there, they've had children, don't you see? And there's many more of them today than there was then. So he warns us. But it didn't seem to be a problem for him, because let's turn back to Matthew chapter 8 and see how he conquered and how he overcame. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28. First time he uses that Greek word, which is translated perilous, which this particular time is translated fearless. Only two times. The Bible says, and when he was come, that's Jesus, to the other side and to the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fearless, so that no man might pass that way. That word in the Greek, fearless, that describes those demonic men that lived among the tombs. And Jesus, of course, had Paul the right to Timothy and said, in the last days, the days you live in and I live in the last days, that same fierce evil time will come. People are demonic feel, and they're going about truth breakers. God let us know all these things. So listen to what Jesus did. And behold, they cried out saying, what shall we do? What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of God? Art thou come thither to torment us before the time? Remember, they were troublesome. They were dangerous. They were fierce. They were harsh. No one could bear them. And you still can't, except through the name of Jesus. But listen. And behold, they cried out saying, what have we to do with thee? They don't want anything to do with Jesus. And if you're Holy Ghost filled, they don't want a lot to do with you. They persecute you. They ridicule you. But when it comes down to it, when God is directing you and you have the power of God in you, they're going to be crying out just like they did with Jesus. And there was a, and behold, they cried out saying, what? We don't have anything to do with you, Jesus. Verse 30. And there was a good way off from them and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. All he had to do was say, go. And the demons were gone. That's the power of God. Demonic people that live, you live among them, I live among them, they're here. He told us they would be here, fierce, hard to bear, impossible to deal with, and it is perilous times. Jesus encountered them, and they could not resist, and he simply said, go, and they went into a herd of swines. That's good news for me tonight, knowing that God is in charge of the whole situation. And he told us, beware, they're out there, and you better have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You better have the power of God, or that fierceness, that harshness, that inability to overcome will be a trap for us. But God's warned us. just like he did Elisha. He warned the king, and we can do something about it. Why? We can pray in his name. We can ask him for insight. We can ask him for oversight. We can ask him to be with us and help us endure all these hardships and afflictions, because we are in a perilous time. But that's okay. If you just pray in the name of Jesus and he says, go. I can remember that, can't you? In the name of Jesus. I don't have power over the demons. No, no, no. But he does. In the name of Jesus. Let's continue. There's many, many more warning signs in here. And in chapter 3, verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. God created man to have affection for the women, the women for the men, but that's gone. We live in that day. Fearless times should come. And they're truth breakers. They hate the things of God. They call evil good and good evil. And that's today's word. And Jesus is simply saying to us, beware. Fearless times are all around you. But he didn't just leave us there. He's going to go down through here and tell us what to do about it. First of all, we learn that Jesus said go, and he had the power over them. He still has power over them. And since he lives in my heart, I pray in his name. I don't have any power over the demons. But I know in his name that God has all power to do all things. So while we're worried about it, these are warning signs on the road that we're traveling, our pilgrimage from a place in earth to a place called heaven. We're on that road traveling, and Jesus is going to help us endure the journey. Warning signs all along the way. The second warning sign he gives us is break away from it. You don't have to be a participant with it. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Aren't you thankful that he gives clear instructions? I mean, I don't have to go to the dictionary. I don't have to go to accordance. When he says people are denying the faith, the power of God, and having all these other pleasures and losing their natural affection and losing their affection for him and still call it religion, from such turn away. I don't have a problem understanding that, do you? That's just a simple, I'm just a simple-minded person. I'm proud he knew that. And along the journey, I don't have to go out and, now what did that mean? The demons oppress you and they come against you almost daily some way or other. And in the name of Jesus, we say, Lord, tell them to flee. Tell them to scatter. I don't have that power, but he does. And greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Now these are warning signs, and we'd better heed them because we're in that perilous times, savage times, fierce times, dangerous times. We're in those days, and he says we can do something about it. We can recognize it. And all the people that's saying, you know, all these religious things, denying the power of God and not turning to falsehoods, turn away from it. Have nothing to do with it because he is the only way, Christ Jesus. Look at verse 6. For of this sort also are they which crept into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It seems to me, though, as people haven't changed the same way they always have been. And that's easy to diagnose. Always people that's trying to be self-righteous in their own eyes, but don't have anything to do with him. They have a name of religion, but they're not following the precepts. They're not following the guidelines. They're not looking to him as the author and finisher of their faith. They're not walking according to the dictates of the Holy Scripture, but they're walking according to the dictates of their own heart, and their hearts are evil. And their hearts are desperate. But God has given us these warning signs, beware of, and the second warning sign he says, break away from. Just turn away from it. Have nothing to do with those false religions and those false precepts. But look at it in a different way. You really, the battle is not ours because we're told what to do. We recognize the enemy and we see that the enemy is out there. He said, beware of them and turn away from them. But at the same time, he takes care of the problem. Look very carefully how talked about, behold how God attends to all the problems. Moses was a great man. and he was following God. But now the enemy is rising up against him. There are those that withstand him, and he's just one person. And now they've got their whole tribe standing up. Moses, Aaron, you're not really called of God. God could use us as good as he could you. And Moses didn't argue with him that much. So God teaches another lesson. Just behold, he that started good work in you shall perform it in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't start anything with him myself. Everything I've ever started with him myself has come to naught, zero. It's absolutely empty. But he started to work within me. And Moses didn't call himself. He was just out there at an 80-year-old man on the backside of the desert taking cure some sheep that wasn't even his. It was his father Jethro's sheep. And the Lord knew that he could use him, so he appeared to him and said, Moses, I got an errand for you to do. So God came to me when I was lost and undone, head to the devil's hell, and he just let me recognize that and gave me enough faith to believe and know that he died for my sins. I'd heard that, and I'd read that, and then he made that real to me. And so the devil is the oppressor. The devil's trying to tear down, destroy, even in this generation, false religions. Break away from them. Beware of all those that would oppress you. And just behold how God takes care of it. Look carefully. Behold how God attends to all these problems. Now as, verse 8, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. They said, Moses, you don't have anything special about you. And that was true. Except one. God called him. God empowered him. God led him. God directed him. He was just subject to that. And as such, since he had turned away from all the other things of Egypt, look what he did. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do those also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. I can't do anything about it. I can't change him. Moses could not change those people. They rose up in number against him. But since God started the work, God's going to finish the work. And look at the next verse. God's already decreed what he's going to do. And so God just said, Moses, next morning, just go down there and stand and let be in charge. Well, God was in charge all the way through. And if you and I would learn that greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world, he's in charge. I'm not in charge. You aren't in charge. And religion thinks they're in charge, but they're not. The land in which we live is fastly turning around against the things of God. In the last 4 or 5 years, have you ever in your life seen it vanish so awfully? The warning signs are there. Beware of. Turn away from. And now behold, let God handle it. Look at the next verse. But they shall proceed no further. God says you're in that awful time. They're doing all these things, truth breakers, no love of God, no love of family, call evil good and good evil. That's the way they are. You can't change them. I can't change them. But since we're in him, and since God has put us in this particular generation to preach, to proclaim, to stand boldly in the truth, they will proceed no farther. That's what God said. There's a limit to how far they're going to come, because he said if we'll just stand true to him. Moses stood true to him. Moses was not afraid. He was not afraid to go out and say what God says. Let God handle it. Just line up out there in the morning and we'll see what God's going to do. God handled it. He handles the earthquakes. He just opened up the pits and in they went. And God has everything in charge today. False religions, he'll bring it down. The only thing we have to do is just reside in Christ Jesus, recognize who he is, who we are, that he saved us, he called us, and we're to be steadfast, we're to be unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, and they shall proceed no further. Why? For their folly shall be made manifest to all men, as theirs also was. God's letting us know, I took care of that crew that withstood Moses, and we're God's people. And if we withstand the enemy, we recognize that's not hard to do. All these traits and all these characteristics they have, God told us they would have in these perilous times, dangerous times. But God says, just be true. Turn away from that junk and turn to me and behold how I am going to handle it. That's encouraging to me. I don't have to fight a battle along the way. I just have to stay true to God, know His Word, have faith in Him, and boldly proclaim what He's already said He's going to do in the love of God. And behold, let God handle it. Look what else. He said, now don't be alarmed at the evildoers. Sometimes we read, we watch TV. Every how you get the news may be word of mouth. We talk to each other. Did you hear that happen? Did you hear that happen? And all that's well and good. We ought to be informed. But he says very carefully, be not alarmed at the evildoers. Let's read together in verses 10 through 13. Don't be alarmed at it. But thou hast fully known my doctrines. We have his word. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. We saw that Elisha was a great man, a great prophet. God spoke to him in an evil generation. And he promises to do the same to us. I'm not an Elisha, I'm not an Elijah. But I do have a Lord Jesus Christ living in me. I am called. And I know the Word of God, thank God. He ever lives to make intercession of those that love Him faithfully. So I just beware of the enemy. I behold their threatenings. That's what the apostles did. All the religious crowd came against them. And I said, we behold their threatenings, but don't do anything for us. You're too late. We've already heard, we've tasted, we've seen, we've felt, we have seen the love of God in us. He dwells in us. It's too late to tell us to change our minds. We're going with God. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy and telling us tonight, that we've come too far to turn back now. Don't worry about it. Paul says, all those things they did to me, and I doubt they could do us worse, but it hadn't happened yet. But even if they do, even if we suffer those persecutions, it's not going to matter because look what happened. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Paul's not saying I was strong when I was shipwrecked, all these things. No, no, he said, I suffered those persecutions. God permitted, He orchestrated it, He sent me into them. But good news is, I'm not alarmed at it. And the Lord did deliver me out of every one. He's never failed. He never will fail. So along this journey of pilgrimage, this road that we're traveling, beware perilous times. Behold their threatenings. Understand that our job is to break away from that evil generation and just behold how God is, has, and will attend to it and take care of it. And then don't be alarmed. Don't let it upset us. Don't be afraid. Don't run scared. Because we hear these evil reports. And they'll be worse tomorrow than they were today. They're worse today than they were last week and last year. It's going to get worse. Evil times will come. But that's okay. Deliverance is going to happen. He already promised it in His precious word. Don't be alarmed at it. Look at the next verse. But evil men and seducers shout, uh-oh. This bad in Paul's time, that we know. He said they're going to get worse. And they have gotten worse. And they will get worse. But don't be alarmed. God will deliver us if we stand true to Him. Deceiving and being deceived. So He tells us lastly, boldly continue in the work of the Lord. We've seen that He started good work within us. Said He's going to perform it. And we're not going to be alarmed. We're not going to do anything except behold, we turn away from it. And behold, we wait for Him to do a good work. He's going to take care of it. He said, I'll stop it. When He stops it, doesn't matter. We know He will stop it. And so our job is to continue boldly in the things we've already learned. Don't need to learn a lot of new stuff, although that would be good. I sure could use a lot of learning. But I already know enough. In the Word of God, if I just stand boldly in that which I already know. Let's pray boldly in the faith. Look at verses 14 through 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of. Not only have I learned them, but I have been assured of it. If he said, you don't have to worry about it, I don't have to worry about it. If he said, behold, I'll take care of it, he'll take care of it. If he says, turn back away from it, I'm assured that every instruction he has given me is going to pan out for my good. But continue that in the things which I have learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom I have learned them. This is not fables. This is the word of God. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. We have lived in a lifetime. I'm 73 years old and there's a lot of things changed. I used to love math and that's still my favorite study and those things, but they've changed it. I mean, when I was in school learning algebra and I just love that stuff and geometry and trigonometry and all that stuff. And so I helped my two boys. They're a lot smarter than me, but I love to help them. And then when Michael came along several years later, they changed it. And I was trying to help Zachary the other day, my youngest grandchild, do fractions and stuff. And he says, they told us not to do it that way. And they've changed a lot of the stuff I'm trying to tell you. But I'm holding a book that's never been changed. Quite frankly, I can't keep up with this new way of learning. I learned it pretty good. And they've changed the way you learn it. I guess the answers are the same. But the way you progress and learn all these things is 100% different than it was in my days. Right or wrong, I don't know. But I am so thankful I have the one book that has never changed. Continue thou in the things I have learned from a child. That's encouraging to me. I don't have to know anything except to know him and to love him and trust him and be bold in the things of God. My boldness is in Christ Jesus. I don't have a lick within myself, but in Christ Jesus. And that from a child I have known the Holy Scriptures. I'll confess something to you. It's a good confession. As far as I know, I have never doubted one thing in the Word of God. As far as I know, God's my witness. If he said it, I believed it. Didn't understand it all, but I will never and have never to this point questioned one verbiage of the King James Version of the Word of God. And that's good because he's not going to change it. Keep on keeping on that which you learn from a child. Thank God, thank God. That from a child, aren't you thankful that from a child, a lot of you wasn't taught that as a child, but you've been taught it now. It really doesn't matter when you learn it, just so you learned it, that we have the pure, unadulterated, precious Word of God, never changing, as true and as strong as it ever was. Continue in that faith. Continue. Beware of the things the devil's doing. Behold, God will take care of it. And understand that he wants us to continue boldly in the things of God. From a child I have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. There is nowhere in Scripture he contradicts that. It's through faith. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Salvation through, by, because of the precious Word of God. Non-changing, cling to it, stand boldly upon the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And among us today in the world and in religion, there are those that don't believe the book of Genesis was inspired. And I know what to do about it. From such, turn away. Don't let it hinder me. Break away from it. Because the Word of God just told me that all Scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed. Why did he do all that? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works. Well, that's good news to me. Everything I'll ever need to know is right here in this book. Thank God. Other men know a million times more than me. But thank God we have a copy. Unchangeable Word of God. And surely, since we know that to be true, we should pray the Lord make us unchangeable. Make us never question. To never even let it enter our mind that you haven't done right, that you're not doing that right, and that you won't do right, because you will. You've done right, you're doing right, and all I have to do is just be whole and let you handle all these things of being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the good Word of God. Bow your heads. Would you stand, please? Altar's open. There's always things we need to learn and understand. Faith, trust, without fear, without wavering. If you need to come to the altar now, the altar's always open. Just to say, Lord, help me in this evil time. It will get worse. He said it would. You can bask on that. Perilous times, fearless, troubling. But we know what to do. And we've got a God that will stand with us and do it for us. That's good news to me. Lord Jesus, you see our needs tonight. You know our heart. We read the paper and watch the news. Within that, it's scary. But you told us, don't be afraid. And Paul told us that through the help of God, he endured. You helped him endure. And you haven't changed. And you'll help us endure. So I'm not worried and I'm not afraid, because my trust is in you. Surely not in the world, not in myself, not in my good work, not in church membership or anything else except Jesus Christ and your righteousness. Lord, I want to praise you. Thank you. I want to lift up my voice to you and say, Lord Jesus, thank you that have given us all we need to be thoroughly furnished through the power of the Holy Spirit, through faith in our Lord and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. We love you, we adore you, and we thank you, Father. These things have never changed and never will change. One way, and that's your way through your Son, Jesus Christ. I want to thank you and praise you. I want to adore you more and more every day. And Lord, I know we're in these days, and that's okay. John had the remedy there, even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. But until then, keep us steadfast, keep us bold, and keep us trusting you. Not ourselves, not religion, not anything else except Jesus Christ and your righteousness. We love you, we bless you, and we praise you. In that name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.